Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 75.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Carl. Nice to chat with you again. I feel like we're doing that Facebook Live that we did a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, ProBlogger. If anyone caught us, we were together at ProBlogger. Kelly presented and she was freaking fabulous, as she always is. Lots and lots of excellent nuggets in her presentation. But I managed to pop Kelly's live Facebook cherry. She'd never done a Facebook Live before. We actually, we're doing an episode coming up on phone addiction, so this will come up in there as well. But we couldn't do Facebook Live on my phone because I don't have Facebook installed on my phone all the time. And Kelly has rubbish internet on her phone because she like, because it was, does it have to do with you being in Perth?
Oh, no, I had it on 3G. Well, I was trying to use the hotel Wi-Fi to start with, and that was not doing the job. And then we flicked to 3G, and then that wasn't doing the job. And then I discovered the wonders of 4G, and oh my gosh,
Yep.
It works really well all this time. Because I tried to do Facebook Lives ages ago, but I couldn't get this, like it would take the video but not the sound. So I'm like, this is why I don't do video. This, you know, it's just not made for me. But yeah, I've now since discovered 4G and wow, the world has opened up to me. So yeah.
So thankfully we managed to get that working and we did a quick Facebook Live, which was super fun seeing everyone in the group, which was lovely. So yeah, we're just sort of catching up for the first time this season. It's a brand new season, kids, which is awesome. What have you been up to, Kel, just for a little catch up?
Oh my God, I have been mainly getting ready for ProBlogger because if people remember going way, way back, like I had a little touch of imposter syndrome because like this event used to be like 2 days and 3 streams and, you know, 30 to 40 speakers. And I have spoken there the last couple of years, but always as one of 30 to 40 people. This year they like tightened everything up like down to 1 stream, 1 day, 6 speakers. And I was one of the 6 speakers. So I was kind of not freaking out, but I was very aware of the responsibility and I wanted to do a really, really great job. So I've basically spent a month like writing my presentation and practicing the presentation. And then it was 2 weekends. So 2 events, 2 weekends, like the same event, but in Brisbane and then in Melbourne. And we did the Brisbane event and it was great. And everybody's talks went really well, but you know, we did get some feedback from the crowd about how they could be better. So of course, then I spent like instead of like relaxing the week after Brisbane and going, oh yeah, I've given this talk once now, I can just chill out and deliver it again next week. No worries. No, I rewrote the whole thing.
But that's what I love about you, because when you were emailing me leading up to it, you were going, oh, I'm rewriting my speech. I was thinking that's so typical, Kelly. But also I really appreciate that, because sometimes when you go and see speakers, it's actually kind of similar with comedians. I've got comedians that I love and I go to see and they'll have like a set of jokes. And if I go and see them once and then I see them again and it's exactly the same, it's really disappointing.
Yeah, well, that was it. And I just, you know, I could have delivered exactly, like the talk was fine, the presentation was fine, everyone got great value out of it when I did it in Brisbane. But, you know, I just saw how I could restructure it better. So it was pretty much the same content, but just restructured. Also, I took out all my jokes because the crowd in Brisbane was a tough crowd.
Oh, no.
And then the crowd in Melbourne was a really warm crowd, but I'd really taken out all my jokes. So, like, I was spewing. I was like, damn you, Brisbane. But, yeah, no, it was good. But that was, like, kind of my whole month that we had off recording. That whole month was basically doing my ProBlogger presentation. But, no, it was really good. And then, you know, then they had the event, and the event was awesome. It's my people. It's just great to be able, like when I was in Melbourne, I got to catch up with you. We had lunch at a really cool place. That place was amazing.
Oh, we went to Veggie Bar on Brunswick Street in Fitzroy, yeah, in case anyone was.
Really good.
It was so funny, actually, when we posted that photo, people were commenting on how healthy the food was. And there were some comments where people were like, oh, it's good to see you're healthy, good to see no burgers or anything. And I was like, oh, my God, do I have to be super careful about what I eat and what I post now? Because people, you know, we talk so often about how we always make healthy choices. What if we get caught, like, making a really bad choice for lunch one day?
Oh my God, I made so many bad choices that weekend. I reckon I ate more sugar that weekend than I've eaten in the entire year. So yeah, if anyone had seen me at like dinner, chowing down on dessert on the morning tea break, like eating cakes, like I never eat cakes, but I was just like, I'm really hungry. I need to eat something. I'm going to eat cake. What's gluten-free here? Cake. But yeah, no, that was awesome. It was just awesome seeing everybody because I'm, you know, listeners may not know, I'm all the way in Perth, which is, you know, right on the west coast of Australia, which is close to nowhere in the world, basically, much less the rest
Bali
of Australia.
Bali is where it's close to.
Yeah, we're close to Bali, which is not bad, but I'd rather be close to the people I love on the east coast of Australia. So yeah. What have you been up to, Carl?
Same old, same old. Just working. I have been traveling a lot less, which is fantastic. I'm settling in for a busy end of the year, lots of stuff happening, potentially moving soon, hopefully. So we're applying for houses and stuff. We were going to move overseas, but we've decided to hang around in Melbourne for a little bit longer. Like we honestly, we change our plans every 20 seconds. So that will be exciting. That's a big thing that we need to do because we've been living in a really small place for ages and we're definitely outgrowing it. But yeah, nothing too exciting happening. It's been quite nice just chilling out in Melbourne and the sun is starting to come out and it's starting to get nice and warm again, which is nice.
Oh, bring that on. It's been so cold here in Perth. I've officially got seasonal affective disorder now. It's hit. I'm tired of being cold. I'm tired. It's been really wet. So it's actually got sunshine today or a little bit of blue sky. So I'm hoping that we're kind of we're turning the corner of winter and into spring now.
But, well, my doctor put me on vitamin D tablets because he said, if you live in Melbourne and you work indoors, you need to be on vitamin D tablets.
I wonder if I need some vitamin D because, I'm trying to remind myself this is a very first world problem, like not being happy because it's raining all the time, but it really does affect my moods. I'm a real summer, need the hot sun on my skin person. So I'm just hanging out for that. So Brisbane was amazing because I went for a run and it was like I was running in shorts and a t-shirt and then it was like back to Perth and it was like, oh, that's right.
You and your warm weather exercise. I don't feel like exercising at all in warm weather. Cold weather invigorates me. I'm like, I'm cold. I'm going to, you know, get my heart rate up. I'm going to increase my core body temperature. You put me in, you know, like Bali, I'm kind of going, I'm just going to sit very still all day if that's okay with everyone.
Yeah, I think that's because I was born in the tropics. I'm like a lizard. I need the sun for my heat
to warm up your blood. Well, it was lovely catching up. On with the show. So today we're going to be talking about memory. We had a few people asking us about remembering things and making sure that you can stay on track with stuff. And they're all different kinds of levels of memory. So there's, you know, your short-term memory, your long-term memory, repressed memory. So this one's going to be all about little tips and tricks to help you improve your memory so that you're not forgetting really obvious things like, you know, your husband's mother's name. So what's your memory like, Kelly?
Look, I'll be honest, it's pretty rubbish. And case in point, this is horrifying. So on Monday, like 4 days ago, on Mondays normally my nanny picks up the kids, but she also picks up my friend B's kids as well from school. And this Monday just gone, my nanny was sick. So I sent Aunt's mum to do the school pickup. And completely forgot to tell her, oh, you also need to pick up B's kids as well. So, like, she's got, like, a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old. So the 8-year-old's fine. He's just hanging outside, you know, hanging around outside the 5-year-old's classroom going, gee, where's Mel? And meanwhile, I'm just picturing, like, the poor little 5-year-old going, who's picking me up?
Why aren't
she here? So, I've never felt so bad in my entire life. And it's just, how could I forget that? So there you go. My memory's rubbish. And I think, like, that's a reason I kind of realized on Monday, like, this is the reason I have such hardcore routines because they just completely remove the need for me to rely on my memory because I'm also one of those people like if it's not written down either in a diary or on a list, like it absolutely does not exist. So, Yeah, that's my memory. What's yours like, Carl?
Mine's actually fine. It's quite good, to be honest. I rarely forget things and I have a weird place and time memory. So I can generally remember the first time I met people that are really important to me, and I can still remember most of the lines of plays I've been in. And I keep very good records of meetings and due dates and things, but I always just know when I have to do things. So, for instance, I've got a pattern release next week for Crochet Coach and everything's all ready to go, but I know that it's next Thursday and that's a thing in my head, and I know that without looking at my calendar, because once I write something in my calendar, it stays in my head. Having said that, though, I am rubbish at remembering places I've been to. So if I've ever been to a bar or a restaurant, I remember no bars or restaurants ever.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm terrible. Like, I'll go – one of my friends, Nina, who actually listens to the podcast, she'll say, oh, let's go to blah, blah. She'll go, oh, let's go to, like, Honky Tonk's bar or whatever. And I'll say, oh, sure, where is that? And she'll be all, Carly, we've been there, like, six times. You know where
it is.
We were
there just last week.
Yeah, she's like, you know that one that's, like, on this street and we went there after here? And I'll be, oh, right, because I just don't – and I don't – I tend to not pay attention if – this is the thing that we were talking about where you have those devices to save your brain power. And my device of saving my brain power is if I'm with another person, it's their responsibility to get me to where we're going. So I tap out. I just float out of my brain. And it's like if I'm in the car with Ben and he drove somewhere and then we get out of the car and go places, I won't be able to find my way back to the car because I wasn't paying attention. But if I drove myself there, I'd be able to find the car because I was paying attention. It's about that brain conservation. So, yeah, my memory's very good unless I conscientiously choose not to remember things, and then my memory sucks.
Yeah, I find it so interesting because, yeah, anybody that can rote learn stuff easily is fascinating to me, but it shouldn't be fascinating because, like, that's if, you know, I'm obsessive about Myers-Briggs, and the N, which is the intuitive, and the S, which is the sensor in Myers-Briggs, is all about how you process information. And so I'm an N and I process information like kind of on a big picture level, like, you know, I process the concept but not the details, whereas you process the details much more easily than you process like the higher level concept.
So
I've just never ever been good at anything that required rote learning, like, you know, the what are all the capitals of every country in the world, or you know, anything like that, or learning lines. And this is why, like, when I give a presentation, I generally use a lectern, and I don't so much read, but I need to have my notes there in front of me because I just don't rote learn very quickly and easy. I need to have done it quite a lot of times to have learnt it. So anybody like you who's able to learn lines easily, I find I'm very in admiration of you. But that said, it doesn't mean, like, so because I'm an N and you're S, it doesn't mean that I can't have a good memory or rote learn. It just means I have to work at it much harder just before anybody starts sending me emails about pigeonholing myself or anything like that.
And also it's just finding different ways of harnessing that in you as well. So also you wouldn't be able to kind of sit down and just repeat the thing again and again and again, whereas that's how I learn lines. You just repeat.
And it's a necessity thing as well. Like, I have set up my life so I don't have to remember. I don't have to rote learn or remember things. I have all these things in place to, you know, to catch me when I fall, except when, yeah, I forget to pick up my friend's kids from school. Like, that was that was one of a very rare situation where things slip through the cracks. So, Carls, we're going to go through some tips now, as we always do. What is your first tip for boosting your memory or enhancing your memory?
So the first tip is to deal with any stress and health issues you have first. When you're not taking care of yourself or you've committed to too much stuff, that's when your memory starts to slip. That is me to a T. If I've overcommitted myself or said yes to too many things, which is basically the story of my life, that's when things start to slip. And I rely on having a very good memory and very good record keeping because I work on about a dozen different things at a time. So each day I'm working on Smaggle, I'm working on Crochet Coach, I'm doing podcasting research, and now Sweet Teen Club is back. So which is great. Yay. That's my other podcast with Stacey from Veggie Mama. So that's back now. And I mean, like, that's super, super fun, but I still have to read books and take notes and things. And oh, that podcast is on 90s culture, by the way. So it's very different to this one. It's about kind of being able to spread my memory and my memory tools across 10 different areas in one go. And I can always tell when I've done too much because I start letting things slip.
Yep, I agree. I find the same as well. Also, if I just let my system slip. My first tip is sleep. Like, you absolutely have to be getting good sleep to enhance your memory, because that is when most of our memory consolidation process occurs. Of course, it makes sense to most people that we're not going to struggle to remember things we've learned if we're not getting sleep. But even a very short nap can improve your memory recall. And I'm just going to go into some research indicates here. So forgive me for the study kind of speak, but yes, research indicates that when memory is first recorded in the brain, in the hippocampus to be specific,
it is that's my favorite thing that's ever happened on a podcast.
Kelly trying to say hippocampus. So when memory is first recorded in the hippocampus, it's let me finish my sentence. No, it is still very fragile and easily forgotten. So, especially if the brain is being asked to memorize more things. But it seems that napping pushes memories into the neocortex, which is the brain's more permanent storage area, and it prevents it from being overwritten. So, go naps. That's my tip.
I completely agree. I think naps are freaking awesome. And
underrated, highly underrated.
And also kind of people are a bit judgy about naps. Like, yes. people who are into naps are kind of seen as quite slovenly or, you know, rather decadent. And I was certainly raised in a family where, you know, napping was for the weak. And Ben and I nap. And my mum will often kind of chastise us and say, oh, you're big into your naps. You're really into your naps. I'm like, get stuffed. I think naps are amazing. And my favorite one is in the afternoon. And also because, you know, I work like 20 hours a day. So sometimes I need to actually have a nap.
Totally justified.
Exactly. In order to get a little bit of energy. And my favorite thing to do is if I've got a massive deadline and I know I have to work all into the night, I will have a shot of espresso and then go straight down for a 20-minute nap. And then by the time I wake up, my coffee's kicked in and I'm raring to go.
Oh my God, I'm totally going to try that.
You should. We call it a power wooze.
Ooh. You guys are the best namers of stuff, honestly.
We really are.
you really, really are. Okay, and we're just going to stop there for a sec because Carly and I have some exciting news. We've just taken on our first sponsor for the show and we're going to introduce you to them now.
If you're a regular listener of Straight and Curly, you'll know self-improvement is totally our bag. And what better way to self-improve than to go back to uni? With Open University's new offering, you can now study single module postgraduate units from leading Australian universities without having to enroll in an entire degree, which is awesome if you're a little bit commitment phobic and don't really know what you want to study.
Hey, that's right. Have you been thinking about upskilling in your current job or maybe even changing career altogether? Because some of our listeners definitely have. And if you're wondering how the heck you'll find the time to do that, Open Universities provides you with the opportunity to learn the knowledge and skills that you need to make that change without the big time commitment.
Each unit is delivered by learning experts from some of Australia's leading universities, and you can study awesome subjects like cybersecurity, which sounds fascinating actually. I was like, what do you even study in cybersecurity? Democracy and dictatorship, economics, marketing, mental health management, and online writing for those of you that are interested in writing careers.
So why not work in a way that is flexible for you? There are over 100 units to choose from. So head on over to open.edu.au and explore the courses they have on offer. Alrighty, so your second one.
Is to try acronyms. So I use, this is a little bit daggy, but I use the acronym TCB and it stands for taking care of business. And I use that acronym whenever.
You're such a child of the 80s.
I really am. And I use that when I schedule meetings in my calendar. So if the acronym TCB pops up, it'll be TCB with Kelly, or it'll be TCB with, you know, my editor at REA. And having the same acronym pop up several times a week reminds me to check them. And so I end up rarely forgetting them because I can just look at my calendar and see TCB pop up four times in 1 week. And then I know I've got four meetings that week. So yeah,
I like it.
That also worked really well when my partner was a kid and he did Helen O'Grady drama, and his mum made it into the acronym HOGS, so H-O-G, and put it on the calendar as HOGS. And that's an easier thing to remember than, you know, Ben's drama lesson on Wednesday night. So when you shorten things,
try that.
Yeah, it's really, really good. You have to actively do it because people don't do it kind of accidentally. But yeah. Acronyms are really, really useful.
Yeah, because it goes against my need to like really state things quite clearly. Like I find acronyms like, I'm like, I can't do it. I need to say Helen O'Grady drama. I can't. So I'm going to actively try to acronym everything.
Acronyms only work for personal stuff though, because acronyms drive me nuts when people, if I just work for a client and they send me through an email that's full of acronyms, I want to kill them because they know what it means. And I'm like, can you please just send me a glossary of your acronyms, or just assume that I don't know what you're talking about because I don't. So acronyms only work kind of on a personal level or on a team level when the acronyms have already been established.
Right, that's it. So don't expect other people to hove to your acronyms. Yeah. Just keep them to yourself.
I've also got another daggy acronym I can share. It's not really a memory thing, but Ben and I have this thing that we call PTC, which is permission to comf. So at the end of at the end of the day, when you want to put your comfy clothes on, this is for us because we work from home, so we have to have a crossover of wearing our everyday work clothes and then into our relaxing clothes, and you have to gain permission from the other person to comf up to make sure that you deserve to comf up. So you can stand there in front of someone and go and just like gesticulate towards your clothes and then look at the person, and then the person will be like, PTC, PTC, and then you have permission to comf.
Oh my God, that is like the most awesome thing I've ever heard.
So
this is gonna
feel free.
Everybody in the group is gonna go nuts over that. I can see this from here.
PTC, PTC.
My second tip is gonna be very short and sweet, and it is to stay hydrated. And this is something we find quite difficult to do, but you don't realize it only actually takes 2% dehydration to diminish not just your memory, but your attention and most of your cognitive skills. So it's such a simple way to maintain attention and to stay on task. And yet most of us don't do it. So yes, stay hydrated. Get, you know, every time you walk past the water or, you know, the tap in the kitchen or something, just what I do, because you know what a lot of people do is they like have the big water bottle on their desk, or they have a big cup of water. I find that like really off-putting. So I just have a little cup on the sink. And every time I walk past the sink, I see the little cup and I go, oh yeah. And I have like this little shot of water. And so I have like probably like 10 of those a day. Whereas I just find if I put a glass of water on my desk for whatever reason, I just don't drink it. So whatever. I know that's probably weird.
Well, it's also
do whatever works for you.
It's also, I'm not a massive fan of stagnant water. I don't like drinking out of a water bottle where the water's been sitting in it for 12 hours. So I kind of refill quite regularly because I like fresh water, and it gives me a chance to sort of stand up and walk around and refill. I'm not into wasting water, so I will always drink what's in my water bottle. So for instance, if I'm going to go to the gym in the morning, which I do most mornings, I won't fill my water bottle up the night before. I'll fill it up before I go because I'm weird. Yeah. My third tip is try visualization and tie it to something unrelated. So for example, if you have this works really well with for example, if you've got an injury or you need to do exercises every day, as most of us should be, because most of us spend a lot of time with our heads down and it's really bad for our neck and back health. what you need to do is connect that action with a completely unrelated action so you don't forget to do it. So for instance, if you connect doing your little neck stretches that you need to do several times a day with washing your hands after you've gone to the toilet, it's connecting that memory with something that it's not attached to, and therefore you're better at remembering it. It's like the ads for toilet paper that have the puppies on it.
Yes.
Because, and it makes you remember that brand of toilet paper, because puppies and toilet paper are a very big disconnect. And when you see them together, you kind of go, that's a really weird pairing, and it makes you remember it.
Yeah, that's right. I like that one. And it's sort of almost habit stacking as well, where it's like, okay, if you're trying to create a good habit, if you attach that, like every time I do this, I'm also going to do that. Like every time I brush my teeth, I'm also going to have a big glass of water afterwards. It's kind of habit stacking as well, just in case anyone's trying to create a habit like stretching their neck properly every single day. That's another good way to do it.
Yeah, and drinking water as well. So, for instance, if you every time you go to the toilet, you drink a glass of water. Although I pee a lot, like many, many, many times a day, so that would actually work for me to stay hydrated. But I know of people who pee like twice a day, and you would need to drink water a lot more than twice a day in order to be hydrated.
I don't understand people who pee twice a day. I just can't. I don't quite understand what's going on internally there. But anyway, maybe they just have giant bladders.
But how convenient would that be? I would love to be the type of person who didn't have to pee like every 5 seconds.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like we spoke about this before in an earlier show, but like how nice it would be to lie in bed in the morning without needing to get out as soon as you wake up and go do a wee. And then if you've gotten up and gone done a wee, like you're up, you may as well stay up.
Also, our recording sessions take anywhere from kind of an hour and a half to maybe 2 hours because we're super efficient. And we rarely make it through a recording session without one of us needing to go to the toilet. And it's such a small period of time. But in between episodes, we'll both be like, I need to pee. And then the other one will be like, oh, peer pressure, I need to pee too.
oh my gosh. Okay. So my third tip is to turn off the GPS, because taking an unfamiliar route activates the cortex and the hippocampus. Oh, how did I just say hippocampus so perfectly?
Oh my God, that's amazing.
God. As a bit of a cool little story. So London cab drivers must memorize a map of London. It's a feat known as the knowledge.
Oh, wow.
And this includes like 320 main routes, 25,000 streets, and the location of 20,000 landmarks. So how cool is this? The hippocampus of a London cabbie is significantly larger than average. That's super interesting. I know how I just kind of blew my mind when I read that. So I was like, I have to share that in the podcast. So, yeah. So all that's saying is, if you want to boost your hippocampus, yeah, take unfamiliar routes. Force yourself to learn new things. And I'm going to talk about this in my next tip. But, Carl, you go with your next tip.
So number four, this is particularly good for remembering people's names if you happen to be crap at that. I used to be a teacher, so I used to use this a lot. So I'll just give you an example. My mates Lou and Jen from Paging Fun Mums, if you haven't visited their website, you should. They're pagingfunmums.com, and they're hilarious on Facebook, and they're Gold Coast mums that are just gorgeous humans. I adore them. And I met them years and years ago when we had the same blogging agent. But because there's two of them and they're Jen and Lou, they'd be like, "We're Jen and Lou." And then I could never figure out which one was which.
I was the same.
Yeah. So it got to the point where I had hung out with them so much and knew them so well, it was just awkward to try and ask them. So Chrissy and I came up with a little rhyme that made us remember. So we came up with Lou, because Lou's got brown hair. So Lou has hair the color of poo, and Jenny is blonde. So she's Jenny from The Blonde.
Oh my God.
So that's how we remember. And we actually told them because we thought it was freaking hilarious. And Lou was like, "Oh, so Jenny gets the cool one, Jenny from The Blonde, and I have hair the color of poo." But it makes perfect sense. And so I never forget which one's which now because, you know, blondie, brunette.
Do you have to do the rhyme to yourself though every single time you see them?
No, I know it. I know them.
You know it now.
Yeah, I know it now, but that's really what got me over the edge. So yeah, having little rhymes about people works really well. And yeah, like if they're not flattering, obviously keep it to yourself. But yeah, if they're cute, tell people, because people like it. It's funny.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, do what works. Like, my husband just looks at me when I – because I do these, like, word association things as well when I'm trying to remember people's names, and he just looks at me as if I'm nuts. And I'm like, dude, whatever works. I don't have – he's an S like you, so he can just remember things if he wants to remember them. Mm. Me, I'm like, I need to do these little rhyme things. Or just, yeah, I do these really weird and convoluted associations to remember things. But, hey, like I said, whatever works. Okay, so still on the hippocampus, and
bloody the love that most, hippocampus.
And I'm so good at saying it now. Just ask me to say it anytime.
Do you want me to say hippocampus? I'll say it.
Oh, you don't even need practice. You can say it.
I'm just repeating what you said. I haven't even seen it written down.
Oh my god, you suck.
I'm reminded. Like, this is another little thing, because for me, it's like a hippocampus. It's like where hippos go to university. I'm letting people into my brain too much this episode.
Well, speaking of brains, like, I've been doing so much research lately because, you know, for my next book, which is Overthinkers Anonymous, so I've been doing lots of very heavy scientific reading on how the brain works and how our minds work and how and why we think things. And something that's coming up over and over again is how effective or how amazing it is for your brain on so many levels to learn a second language. So the studies have shown, like, if you are already bilingual, you have a greater advantage, since speaking a second language is one of the most effective ways to keep your mind sharp and protect your memory. And adults who speak more than one language are likely to have a better working memory and memorization skills. But here's the cool thing, and here's what I'm going to start doing now, rather than persisting with trying to learn French and not understanding the thing about manges and mange and, like, the different – oh, there's that different what is it? Like, it's two manges but something else mange, and I just can't get it and it's frustrating me. But anyway, so it has shown that the 100 most commonly used words of any language comprise 50% of the words used in day-to-day conversation. So if you Google learn 100 core words, you'll find a series of free online lessons that teaches 100 core words in numerous languages. And if you just focus on learning those 100 core words in different languages, this is going to give your kind of mind and memory, like, the same level of boost as if you, like, were literally fluent in another language. So there you go.
See, I love all that. And it's the same thing with activities like doing crossword puzzles and Sudoku. Yeah. And incidentally, knitting and crochet are also in that category of really good mind activities that also keep your mind really healthy as you get older. They've been shown to ward off dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that. Not completely, obviously, because, you know, if you could cure Alzheimer's with doing crossword puzzles every day, everyone would be doing that. But yeah, it's definitely a thing that actually helps your brain. It helps keeps the connectors connected. I know that isn't very scientific, but the mindful activities that are screen free are very excellent for improving your memory as well.
Cool.
So my fifth one is break things into chunks. So this is great for learning speeches or lines, or if you need to do rote learning. Anthony Hopkins repeats every single line 200 times to make sure that they're committed to his memory. So if you need to remember lots of dialogue, break it into chunks, repeat, repeat, repeat. It's all in the repetition in getting things into your memory. For instance, like phone numbers, like when you're teaching a child to learn their phone number, you make them repeat it again and again and again.
Yeah. I hate doing that. So this is why I don't rote learn things, because I hate repeating things. It just drives me crazy. But I got to get over that.
You really do. Repetition's great.
I know. It's effective. If it's effective, just do it, Kelly, and shut up. Okay, so my final one is to listen to music, because did you know that music is one of the few activities that engages both sides of the brain simultaneously?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so listening to music, particularly instrumental music, positively impacts memory, but also positively impacts your focus, attention, language skills, and your physical coordination, which I can confirm, because when I have music on when I'm running, I'm definitely more coordinated.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Cool. And you've got like a bonus tip.
I do have a bonus tip. My bonus tip is pay attention. So a lot of people don't necessarily forget things. They just fail to absorb the information in the first place. I think,
call this selective attention, and I totally agree. Yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who claim to have bad memories may just need to adjust their approach to things and be a bit more switched on, particularly when things really matter. So if you're having a conversation with your partner, planning things for the week, and you're scrolling on Facebook or, you know, having a conversation with someone else or totally distracted, you're not going to absorb all the important information. If you don't absorb it properly in the first place, then you have zero chance of remembering it because you never heard it in the first place.
Well, that's what they say when you meet someone new for the first time and they introduce yourself. You're supposed to say, "Hi, Kelly." You know, if someone goes, "Hi, I'm Carly," you go, "Hi, Carly, nice to meet you." And that's a way of making sure that you've taken it in. Because if you're like me and you're one, shy, and two, just a massive overthinker, like when you're meeting a new person, all you're thinking about is, "Oh my God, don't look stupid, don't look stupid, don't look stupid." And when they introduce themselves, like, I don't even hear when they introduce their name half the time. But of course, I've had to learn to train myself out of doing that. And now I do the, "Hi, Carly, nice to meet you" thing. And that gives me half a chance. And then I stand there in the group and I just like repeat their name over and over again. But if I don't do that, it's gone. Like, I have no idea who I just spoke to.
See, so I have to remind myself to do that because if I'm in the street and I ask someone for directions and they're giving me directions, I'm not listening to what they're saying. I'm busy concentrating on like smiling and nodding and making sure that they think that they're giving really good directions, and then I'll walk away and I will have no idea where I'm going.
Oh, my God. See, this is why I'm writing my book. Yes. So that's it for episode 75, guys. As always, if you've got some thoughts or questions or anything to share on the topic of this week, please do come into the group and, let us know what you know, basically. Until next time, see you later. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.